Video. All right. The slides and the recording for this will be available on the district's website once this session is over, so you'll be able to access it there. Thanks everyone for coming today. If you aren't familiar with the district, you're going to learn a little bit more today. I am Rachel Mason. I'm the CEO for the district. We also have Mireya Banuelos, depending where she is on your slide. She is our community health coordinator, and she will be essentially your primary contact for the grant process, both during and after. One of the things to keep in mind is we cannot help you answer your grant questions. We can help you with technical support and or clarification on what the question is asking, if there's things that way. But please understand, we can't give any more guidance on how to answer something other than what we're going through today, okay? So just something to keep in mind. All right, about the district, we were formed in 1950, so we're now about 71 years old. We were initially created to help create what was then the Fallbrook Health kind of little clinic to an actual Fallbrook hospital. In 1998, the hospital, through changes to managed care, how medicine was being billed, really changed. And so the hospital was leased to a group called Community Health Systems. They were the hospital operator until about 2014. So in 1999, when the healthcare district stopped directly operating the hospital, our funds, which come to us through property taxes, were then reallocated into this grant-making program that you're all applying to today. In 2014, when CHS terminated the lease to operate the hospital, the district was not able to find anyone else who would come in and operate a hospital that had been running at a multi-million dollar loss per year. And unfortunately, in 2015, the hospital building itself was closed. In 2017, we were able to sell that particular property to what is now the Fallbrook Healing Center, or Crestwood, for a behavioral health center. So right now, the district has kind of a lot of money in our bank account, and that money will be used to developing the Community Health and Wellness Center, our property over on East Mission, where we've been doing a lot of the COVID testing this last year. So that's your background for the health district. Last year, our grant funds really went to a wide variety of different types of organizations: youth programming, school-based youth, community health and fitness, senior services, support services for special populations. And then we had a COVID-19 responsive support plan that was beneficial to several of you here today. Next. The community health contracts, which is part of their official name, you are making a contract with the health district to provide community health services. So we'll use the word grants and community health contracts interchangeably. So don't be surprised if you see both sets of terminology. This is the current process, February through March. I am currently creating the district's budget. We are hoping to have a public hearing on the budget sometime in November. That will be put to the public so that we can get their input. This year's budget will be dramatically different from previous years. Not only will our grant funding be different, but our operation of the Community Health and Wellness Center will really begin to impact what we're doing. As many of you know, we have been collecting data from the community on what types of services or programs will be needed at our wellness center. This data is also helping to shape the grants program. In April, or so the grant window will open March, 1st of March. It will end the end of March. So technically, the open date is March 1. The closing date is March 31. April, the board will, our board of directors, which are publicly elected, will begin to review all the grant applications and make their scoring. Please understand that Maria and I, while we review all of the grants and make sure they are complete and all the stuff is there, we do not vote on who gets funded. We do make a recommendation to the board based on your previous history, how well your outcome data is explained. Usually it is Maria and I know if you are putting out a pipe dream. If you say you're going to end problem X and you have three people and $3 to do it, I'm going to call bullshit. So that is going to pretty much come forward to the board. I may not use that word, but you know, I might understand that we give them a lot of honest feedback about what to expect. So don't be surprised if Maria or I call you for clarification before it even goes to the board. We kind of know some of the questions that they'll ask, and so we want to make sure your application is as complete as possible. So that will happen during the month of April. In the month of April and May, we are completing the district's budget, and we'll likely know then how much money will be available for the grants. So no, I can't tell you today what our total grant amount will be that we're going to be giving out. Just know that it will have been less than you've seen in the past. In June, we will make our grant award announcements at our board meeting, which is always public, and you can always find the links to those meetings on the district's website. And then in July, we actually provide the initial grant award, the actual money. Okay. So that's the basic outline. I'll mention if you have a specific question, you can unmute yourself and kind of ask, or if it's a question that you want a written answer to, feel free to put it into the chat box. It looks like both Mireille and I have it up, so we can hopefully answer it there as well. All right, this year, we're going to do a different online grant submission. Last year, we used cyber grants, which was great and horrible. Just a little bit expensive and a little bit wonky, and it didn't provide us with a lot of the access and tools that were originally kind of sold to us. So we've downsized to a much simpler tool that's called JotForm. That is the website, that's the link you'll be given. We were able to completely control the format in it. It doesn't have quite as many bells and whistles, which means, and please hear me when I tell you, copy the question, put it in a Word document, answer the questions, and then go to JotForm and answer your. If you start to just try and fill in your application on JotForm without editing, you're going to be an abject failure. So just trust me when I tell you, copy the questions from this, put it into Word, answer it, cut and paste. That's going to make your life a heck of a lot easier. Okay. We have a new budget tool. It is not that different from what you've seen in the past, and it will be a spreadsheet that has multiple pages. I will show that to you. You will download that file from the district's website. You'll also be able to get it from JotForm. You will fill it in, and then you will upload it. So you don't have to go through JotForm's weird system that doesn't do calculations right. Because this is an Excel spreadsheet, do not change my formulas. If you go in and you mess up my formulas, I'm going to be annoyed. And you know what that's going to mean? I'm going to kick this back to you and make you redo it. It's a pain in the butt. I'm sorry. Not everything is perfect, but don't change my formulas unless you're extremely good at Excel and then you know how to fix it. Because if you call me and you say you messed it up, I'm going to tell you to download it again and start over. Was that mean enough? Okay, that's mean enough. All right, the link, like I said, will go live on March 1st. It will close on March 31st. The budget and the template for all of this will be available on February 24th. So on February 24th, Maria, because I suck at this part, will actually upload this onto our website so that you can see the budget template and you can see the application template. So that on March 1st, you could be ready to submit. The board, like I said, will review and score in April. On May 19th, the strategic planning of our board of directors will actually review and talk about your applications and your scores. So those of you who have not attended a district meeting before may want to consider putting these into your calendar. You can access our calendar on the district's website, fallbrookhealth.org, at any time. The link to that Zoom, because all of these meetings are public, will also be on that website. I highly recommend you show up to these meetings. It's really helpful for the board of directors to know who you are, so that when they start to wonder whether or not they should be giving X amount of dollars to organization Y, they know who you are and what you do other than just what's on a piece of paper. All right, June 9th will be the board meeting in which the board will decide and award the funding. All right, things that are different this year. Last year, we asked about some of the health disparities that you provide support to and about. As those of you who participated are in our Community Collaborative for Health and Wellness, the CCHW meetings, you have heard Janine and Medea talk about the social determinants of health. This should not be new to you. If it is, you'll find information about this on our website. And the reason that we're presenting this is that social determinants of health are essentially the new paradigm in which the health district is beginning to identify what community needs are. Obviously, the health district is a community-based health and wellness district. Once upon a time, not that long ago, those of you who are familiar with us know that we were researching different frameworks in which to design our community health and wellness center around. There was a lot of conversation about blue zones. That wasn't a truly workable plan. And so we switched to the social determinants of health because it has much more research background to it, is much more user-friendly, if you will. So some of the information that we've gotten from our grant, from our consultants at the Wellness Center have identified certain social determinants of need in the community that are more important or have more need than others. So while there are a number of different social determinants of health, I will show you which ones we're going to be focusing more on, but you need to be familiar with this. It's also important that you understand that if your program doesn't serve at least 80% of your recipients being district residents, please don't plan to apply. At least 80% of your beneficiaries, your participants, must be district residents. You also must be able to demonstrate at least 10% of your funding has to come from other funders. So if you're asking for 95% of your program's funding from the health district, we're going to say no. If you have 90%, I'm going to come back to you and say, you are not sustainable. And I'm going to show you here in a minute why this is going to be a problem. So you really need to consider now as an organization what the diversity of your funding looks like. Okay. We will not fund capital expenses. Meaning if you're trying to buy a building, we're not going to fund it. If you are trying to purchase some large capital expenditure, you better make a tremendous case for why this is vital to that program. And you better really be able to make a strong case as to why the health district should buy it for you, okay? So really, we're not interested in capital expenditures. We're also not really interested in anything that is not health related. Now, that said, let's look back over at social determinants of health. Most of these things, you can make a solid case for why this is impacting your health. So if you are an education provider and you want to do something in the education field, you'll need to be able to explain how that relates to health. That shouldn't be really a surprise to any of you. That's kind of why you're here. Okay. Some of the things that are new priorities as of this year. The board is interested in seeing a mix of both new and ongoing programs. To that end, starting this year, we are putting in a new time frame of 3 years. The district will fund you potentially for 3 years in a row, and then we will not fund that program again for at least 1 year, meaning you'll have to take at least a 1 year break from asking for funding for that exact same program again. So an organization may be funded every year if their application is approved, but that program specifically may only be funded for 3 years in a row. Okay, that is new this year. We are starting the clock with this year because it would be impossible to say, well, sorry, Michelle's Place, we funded you 3 years, so you're out this year. That's not gonna work. Or we might say, you know what, we really liked you over there at Divine Path, but you've already been here twice, so now you only get 1 year. What this means is that in 3 years, some of you may really need to change what you're asking funding for. Okay, so just something to keep in mind as you're doing your strategic planning, as you're thinking about your funding, definitely consider whether this would be a new fund or a new program, if it's an ongoing program, if you are tweaking an existing program to serve a new population, or you're going to try a new intervention. Those are considered new programs, even if it isn't necessarily a pilot. So for example, if you've had a program that has been focused just on seventh graders, for example, and you've decided that you're going to make a new program that has used some successful interventions on fifth graders, let's say the fifth grade program is new and you're not going to ask for funding on the seventh graders. Does that make sense to everybody? You can nod your head because I can see you all in Brady Bunch format here. Is that good? David, you got a question?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, can you apply for the full 3 years or are you renewing every year?
It is an annual grant program only. Yeah, so we're not doing multi-year funding. So no problem, David. Again, new programs will have to demonstrate that there's a community need and they will have to show that they can be effective. So just because you have a new program doesn't mean it's going to get funded. It means that it has to show that there's a need for it in the community and that what you're going to do will have a positive impact. Okay, does that seem pretty self-explanatory to folks? This is the time, though, to come back to Maria and I with your questions after this to find out if your program will be eligible. All right. The goal is for your organizations to achieve sustainable funding sources, options, and to be less dependent on the health district's funding. We're looking for diversified funding options, and we're looking for collaborations. Those of you who typically work in the nonprofit sphere should not be surprised to see those words of sustainability and collaboration. They have been the buzzwords in nonprofit funding for a long time. We know collaborations. Funders love to talk about collaboration. And sometimes when you're the actual shop, you know that collaborations are a pain in the butt. That said, we're too small a town for all of you to continue to be isolated or siloed from one another. So we've started last year, actually at the last couple of years, talking to groups that have similar populations. So if you are a school site-based provider, I'm going to make sure you're connected to the other school site providers to see where you can better collaborate. We will only fund perhaps one of you in a collaboration, but the expectation is that you'll put together an MOU, you will identify how you will split the money, you will do all that, but you would be able to put together a joint application. Okay. So the district is looking for collaborative grants. We are looking at your funding sources much more in depth this year to identify if you truly have a sustainable plan. And those of you, if you don't know me, I used to sit in your shoes. So when you give me the standard answer that is, oh, we've embarked on an aggressive grant writing campaign and we are going to maximize our individual donor pool, blah, blah, blah. I know that you're just giving me the BS answer because I've written that answer on hundreds of grant applications. You're still going to tell me that. And I know you're going to tell me that, but we do want to see some sort of concept from you about how you're looking for new funders. So if you've only ever had two grant funders in the last 10 years, this is your time to really diversify. We're not kidding. We're very serious because there's a lot less funding available from the district going forward. That's as blunt as I can be without using curse words. Okay. Keep in mind, once we open the Community Health and Wellness Center, AKA the Wellness Center, we anticipate there will be a lot of physical space and in-kind support that we can give to you as our partners. We don't want the district's relationship to you to be just about money, but to be partnership. So how can we help promote your services? How can we provide space to you? Do you need event space? Do you need community meeting space? Because someday we will all meet again in person. That's the kind of stuff we were going to be able to offer more and more of as we invest in the Community Wellness Center. So the social determinants of health, what we're seeing here on the left in blue are the primary ranked social determinants of health within the 10 census tracts that the regional health districts support. So by order of priority, neighborhood support, which is going to include things like safety and access, education, which is not just higher education, but educational resources around vocational, how education is linked to health outcomes, healthcare access, that's pretty obvious, economic changes, again, stability, food insecurity, housing, poverty, and transportation. All of those are deemed as highest need from the needs assessments our consultants have done in our area. So those are the highest priorities for this year's funding priorities. The box in the white is the question that you will see on the application that you will mark that says, this is the social determinant of health that we primarily support. Again, if you're not familiar with social determinants of health, the website there, thehealthypeople.gov2020, that takes you to the website that explains the research. There's tons of information there from the CDC, WHO, a ton of folks. So get familiar with how your program will use that language to talk about health outcomes for the community. Okay. Hopefully, again, it's not a surprise. Okay. We will continue to talk about this. We will continue to have these resources. We understand that this is a shift in language, but we're trying to align it with the district's priorities with the development of the Wellness Center as well. Okay. All right, understanding your program. Before we go into the next kind of set of questions, the next set of questions are really about, do you know how to write a grant? Do you know how to write your statement of need, your case statement? So before I get too far that direction, I'm going to show you the budget form real quick. Those of you who feel like you've got this and you are grant experts, you can check out whenever you want. Good luck with that. But in the meantime, I'm also going to bring this document up. All right, this year's grant budget form is not that significantly different from what you've seen in the past, but of course, I made it harder because that's what I like to do. First of all, there's instructions and explanation of what these things mean. There's an instruction page. The second one is the program budget. You've seen this form before if you've applied to the district for funding. It hasn't changed. You're going to fill in what is in yellow. do not change my formulas, or if you do, you better make it perfect. Okay, you're going to fill this in. There's a second tab called revenue sources, and we are specifically asking you to tell us, where do you get your money for your program? Okay. Do you get your funds from federal contracts, state projects? Obviously, we don't have a city, but if you're getting county CDBG funds, specifically, we're asking a little bit about the organization, and then very specifically, we're asking about for that project or program. Okay, so there's things in here like general donations, your events, if your organization does fundraising events. There's lots of different line items in there. The idea is help us understand your overall funding picture. Where can we help you maybe get connected to different funders? Do you have an individual donor program? Those of you who have survived the COVID challenges to your organization probably saw more money come into you from individual donors than almost at any other time. If you didn't have an individual donor development program, this was the year to create it. COVID's not going away anytime immediately, and the impact of COVID on local governments and local funders is going to be profound for the next year. So now's the time to be really nonprofit grown-ups and really put forward all of your best tools. We want to be able to help be part of the conversation with you. So that's part of why we're asking this question here on this form. We have brought back the budget narrative, which was left out in previous applications. This is a good opportunity for you to give me your sales pitch. And by me, I mean the district. When you're putting in your budget, for example, let's say in an indirect expense, you have to hire some sort of consultant and you're going to pay them $1,000. I better see in your program description why that consultant is super important. And here's a great place for your narrative to say, because this program is new and we're capturing new data, we brought in an IT consultant to ensure that our CRM database will allow for capturing of this new data. Whatever. Explain it to us. We don't know your programs. We don't know your organizations. So if you don't make it clear to us, it's hard to be really supportive of what you're offering, okay? So your budget narrative is an important tool. And then the last tab in this looks very much like your previous budget, but this is going to be the reporting form. And we know that this has been frustrating for you guys and for us in trying to identify how you've spent the money, okay? We know you're going to spend all the money. You're going to spend it. We know that sometimes things get out of phase with when you're going to spend it. So the goal is this tool is something you would track and you would submit each quarter so that you can identify, did the funds all get spent from marketing in first quarter? And now you're going to reallocate funds to something different because life happened. COVID happened. Something happened. And you're shifting around your grant funds a little. So help us by making sure this tool stays updated. And then that way we can also make sure that, you know, what you're doing stayed within the grant guidelines, right? So this document will be downloaded from the website. I've tried to make it really easy and I will continue to play with it. Certain people who are really good at Excel and usually have caught the district's errors, Kenise, will be able to say, hey, in cell such and such on tab one, it's not auto-formatted. Great. We'll try and fix that. We know it's a new tool in some ways, so there may be some bugs. If you find a bug, let me know. Maybe I'll give you a special candy bar or something. Whatever. All right, so that's the budget. Anybody have any questions so far? I know I've done nothing but talk directly at you for the last half an hour. Anybody got a question? I'm just going to keep going then. Kenise, unmute yourself, then I can. I got a whole bunch of screens here.
Sorry, I was just wondering, can you give us a percentage idea of what the dollars look like differently so we know how to draft our program ask?
Nope.
Okay.
That's right. You're welcome. Glad to be helpful. Unfortunately, because we are still drafting our budget right now, we aren't going to be able to tell you what percentage amount we're going to fund this year as opposed to last year. Last year's total grant funding was about $1.2
million. Mm-hmm.
It would not be unreasonable to assume that our max amount of funds might be around $800,000 this year.
Okay.
That is not a hard number. That is a Rachel pull it out of my head number. Okay. So again, we mentioned last year that it was likely to be a significant decrease. Sorry. Okay, any other questions? Otherwise, I'm going to keep going. Okay, here we are. So understanding your program. When you get to the question that basically says, explain how your program functions, what I want to know, what we desperately need you to tell us, is how do people get into your program? So how are they referred to you? Then what do you do to them? And how are you measuring the impact of your intervention? All of those pieces need to be explained. So when we start talking about explain your program, explain how people get there. What impact you expect to make? What is your case statement or your statement of need, right? Do you know how to explain how what you're doing is solving the problem? All too often, especially for programs that are very well established, there's this perception that it's obvious to us that what you're doing is solving a problem. Keep in mind, our board of directors are publicly elected. They are not necessarily nonprofit individuals. They are not typically program people. They come from different aspects of the professions. We have one that is a retired education superintendent. We have one that is a mental health professional. Another that does community advocacy in the mental health sphere. One that is a healthcare consultant at the hospital level. Okay. You're going to have different levels of knowledge. This is your opportunity to absolutely make sure that you are clear in describing what you do, why you do it, and how you do it. Okay. Your goals and objectives. Again, I will tell you very clearly. We have members on our board who will look for your objectives to be SMART. You've heard this before. They're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, and they're time bound. And by saying, is your objective realistic? The answer is not yes. The answer has to be inferred from, this is a realistic objective because by what we say we're going to do, it's reasonable that we'll be able to get it done. So again, let me pick on the food pantry because I see Henry there. Let's say the food pantry says, we're going to eliminate all hunger in Fallbrook. That's not very realistic, but you can absolutely say that that is working what you're working toward, especially for a certain population or for a certain percentage of the community. Something along those lines. So be very realistic in what you're talking about, okay? Your goals, we're going to be able to have three specific goals outlined in this application. Three goals is a lot of goals. Typically, the goal is, think of, you know, your funnel. Your goal is large. Your objectives are what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In that, you really have to be able to talk about your outcomes as well. So how do you measure? How do you quantify what you do as the impact? So if you say you're making children healthy, you better be able to define how you measure children's health. Maybe it's we provide this number of services. It's we provide this many interventions. Okay. Hopefully you've already explained what that means to us in the previous section during your case statement. These should not be new concepts to any of you. Most of you look like you have been in this sphere before. So if you need a little more information, we can try and help you beforehand. Okay, again, another example of the goal, and this is where I get to pick on, you know, Patty at the Foundation for Senior Care. You know, if the goal is to prevent seniors from falling at home, how do you measure a prevention? We made sure that 10 people didn't fall because we stood there and we made sure they didn't fall. Okay, you can't do that. I know that. But you can say what we do is we conduct home safety visits within 1 year. So this is what we did. This is the time frame in which we did it. We provided educational materials. We put in these many strategies. You're going to tell me what those things are. We provided this many grab bars, these many hallway lights. Okay. You're going to quantify your interventions. And that's going to be different for all of you depending what you do. So hopefully, again, this isn't a surprise. We know that it is difficult for some of you in what you do. And Carla, I see you at the corner of my screen. So it's tough, I know, for the Land Conservancy to talk about what you're doing because the preserves are open spaces. People are walking and you're not necessarily saying, okay, you're allowed to walk today, but you're not because you're healthier than this person. We get that. I know it's been a challenge in the past for some of you to come up with outcome measures. But hopefully you've been working on your programming that way. Again, we are hoping to have an additional set of resources that we can point you toward in as far as some of these outcome measures with the School of Public Health at San Diego State. We had a number of different resources we're trying to bring to you, educational pieces to bring you along in your nonprofit capacity building, if you will. Measurement and evaluation, again, I'm beating a dead horse here. Sorry, Rains, I know that's sensitive. I'm beating a proverbial horse here. Explain how you measure the program's success, the interventions, changes in behavior, achievement level, satisfaction surveys. Sometimes if all you've got is satisfaction, the person came in and they were distraught and they were miserable and their life sucked. At the end of your intervention, their life sucks less. On 1 to 10, how much less does it suck? Give me something, okay? It can be simple that way, or it can be more complicated depending on what you do, but definitely think about some very quantifiable measures, okay? We're not doing academic research. I get that, but you gotta help us along here, okay? Again, when we talked about your grants, we want to be able to see where your funds come from. So if you have contracts with school districts, that is contract funds. If you charge a fee for your service, that's part of the service. Last year, we introduced a little bit of the fact that we, the district, will help support the indirect expenses of programs. You can't run a program without somebody there doing it. So the executive director is typically an important part of a program's success. So some part of their expense should be part of your budget. Just because we'll support up to about 25% of those indirect costs doesn't mean you should bill me for 25%. But it means that if that's an important piece to it and it's relevant for your programming, we're not going to just discount it. That's something that the district's a little different in. Again, the difference between your agency program or your agency budget versus your program budget. If you have one program and it's the same thing as your agency, then you're going to give me your agency budget. But if you have multiple programs in your agency, we're going to ask for both your agency budget, and you're probably just going to upload that like a in whatever format you do that. But your program budget will be the budget that we're asking for you to fill in from us. All right. Again, we're asking for your ask from us to be realistic as it relates to your program goals and objectives. We're absolutely saying that if it isn't, if you're not showing at least 10% of funding for that program from some other source or sources, we're going to kick it back to you and say, how are you planning to fund this? Which also begs the question, if the district doesn't fund your full request, will this program still be viable? All right, you're gonna budget to your goal. Your direct expenses, these are costs that can be traced to a specific item or service that is required to fund the program or to run the program. Your indirect costs or expenses are those that are related to the overall operation of the agency. Typically, this might be something like, you know, your director and officer's insurance, your liability insurance. That's probably partly important to your program. Some part of it can be allocated to this. Your reporting requirements, if it's requested in your budget, your grant budget, then you need to be able to report on it. So if you're saying that you're asking for, you know, $500 in educational materials, your application better explain how those educational materials are part of your program. So again, we're looking for cross-referencing. Everything needs to be as clear as possible. And that means from the budget standpoint, the statement of need, and all of your goals and objectives in those measurables. I'm being redundant, so I'm going to skip this slide, but it will be up on the website. Okay. Your physical assets. So if you rent a building, hold on, my screen froze. Sorry. If you rent a building, your rent shouldn't be part of our grant funds unless it is, of course, an important part of running your program. Okay? So don't ask us to pay for all of it, but it should be built into part of what you're asking in your indirect. You have to have internet, right? You have to have phone service. You have to have perhaps, you know, copy paper. This is part of your program expense, but you're probably going to just build it into your indirect expense. On your budget form, you're going to want to be able to show that that's an important expense. So back on your budget format here, you've got these indirect expenses. It may be for administrative support, your executive director, your program's officer, specific insurance for the program, physical assets, utilities, personnel. People run the programs. So sometimes what you need is funding for staff. A little bit of staff support is expected as part of your grant application. We're going to ask you to say, who are we funding? So if you say we're going to ask for, you know, teaching assistants, and there's going to be three of them in there, put them in there. We want to also see, what is your total program cost? The reality, what does it cost you to run this program? Hopefully you know to the penny how much it actually costs you to do this. Again, a lot of this is redundant. You may have already seen it before. If you haven't, you'll be able to familiarize yourself with this after this is over. But we do want to make sure that you are familiar with how to fill out this form, which is why I said we're going to make it available to you right around February 24th. So you can download it, you can play with it, get used to putting in the numbers and seeing how the formula works. There's no perfect way to do a budget, which is why all of you have different budgets, which is why we're not going to just accept your program budget. That's why you got to fill out ours, so that we have across the board apples to apples comparisons, okay? Again, from my own nonprofit days, I loved budgets that were really clearly able to be compared against what your 990 looks like. We will be asking you for your audited financials. If you don't have audited financials, we will ask for your last fiscal year as well as your current 990. So be prepared to have those in digital format. If your agency has a 500,000 plus budget and you don't have some form of audited financials, you got to start trying to figure out how you're going to get that built in. The district has had in its past a requirement for audited financials, even though we didn't necessarily always follow up and ask for them. It was still part of policy. So know that we are likely to see more and more demand for those audited financials. Don't be surprised. We know it's an expense. All right. This is our contact information. You know who I am. You know who Maria is. Double check our website for when these deadlines come up for access to the application link. We will email that link to you right about the 1st of March. It will also be on the website in the event that you're not on our list for some reason. So you'll be able to find that link in both places. Don't be surprised. We'll try and make it as easy as possible. Stop sharing now. Any other specific questions, anything I didn't mention, anything you want more detail on? Nothing? You guys are going to let me out of here in an hour? You're all nodding. Okay. That was really fast. David, go ahead and jump in.
Yeah. I'm just curious, going back to this three-year thing, and I hate to beat that proverbial dead horse, but I'm curious, like, if you're doing a pilot project and you anticipate getting funding second and third year, would you need to have that same 10% requirement built into your budget? You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those requirements aren't going to change year to year, even if you're proposing a pilot program. The expectation is you better have skin in the game from an agency and not expect the health district to fund all of it. The 10% is really, that's nominal. It's really a small amount. So we really expect that that your agency is going to support that.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah, and again, we're looking for you to be more sustainable in your overall functioning as well.
Okay. That's great, thanks.
Sure.
Rachel, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you, Allison?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Can you say again the dates for the board meetings that where they will be discussing the grants, just to make sure that I get that written down correctly?
Yep. Let me get back to it so that I actually give you the right date.
Yeah. And Allison, you can actually, you can actually access the program schedule guidelines and criteria on our website. I put it in the chat. There's an actual document with all those dates, like that document, like through. Almost all the information that Rachel gave us here. So it's
okay, awesome.
You got to print that out or save it if you hate paper like me. But yeah, all the dates are right there. And if it still doesn't make sense, you can definitely call us or send us a message.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
The two most important dates are May 19th, which is the strategic planning meeting for the board, which is where the strategic planning committee will discuss the overall scores provided by the board members. And then on June 19th, where the board as a whole will discuss the recommendations that came out of strategic planning. So May 19th and June 9th.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hi, Rachel. This is Noreen with Community Health Systems. How are you?
Good, Noreen. Nice to hear from you.
I know. I just wanted to know, going back to that three-year thing, that's just for like the same program that you're trying to fund for 3 years, right? It's not going to be what if we do different programs every year, then that's still okay. We won't need that 1 year break then, right?
Correct. So if you have program A, B, and C, and program A gets funded year one and program B gets funded year two, three, as long as it's not the same program,
the same thing.
3 years in a row, because on the fourth year, it just won't be approved.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And keep in mind, when we say that they can be new programs or they can be tinkering, if you just change the name of it, but it's the exact same program, come on.
Yeah.
Really? I'm gonna know.
Sounds good. Thank you for the clarification.
Sure. Yes, Kenise?
Are you still accepting multiple grants for different programs?
We will be accepting, again, if you have multiple programs and you're gonna submit 3, 5, 2, 1, whatever, yes. Again, the pot will be smaller this year. So there's no guaranteeing one, whichever program seems to get the highest score from the board, that will be what's put forward for funding.
Gotcha.
They may, keep in mind, they may also choose to fund some percentage of the application. It's not an all or none. Generally, Rachel, it's all or none, but they may come back with a recommendation. Yeah. Sorry, Adama. Yes.
I didn't realize you weren't done speaking. So I remember that there were 5 social determinants of health categories. Mm-hmm. So when an organization applies, is there a limit or a recommendation or whatever? Like if I wanted to do only healthcare access, but we have 2 different programs, would I put, you know, is that all right? Or if we decided to do some other program that it seemed like it was transportation involved or education involved, could we do one in one SDOH and another in another SDOH? Or
so you're going to apply per program. So if this program is primarily health access, but it is also affecting transportation, of course you could select both of those. This is not an either or, it's select all that apply.
Okay.
Because we know that there's substantial overlap in some of these social determinants. So we get that, nothing's black and white in this. Feel free to pick the one that makes the most sense for you.
So when a person is writing a proposal to submit, we're not limited like, okay, I have to pick a particular social determinant of health. It's here is my program and these are the social determinants of health that are addressed with it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. You're All using right. the social determinant of health guidelines to describe what your program is doing.
Thank you.
Sure. Anything else? Anybody? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, for those of you that we've funded in the past, we're going to ask the same thing as far as acknowledgments. For those of you who are hoping to get funding for the first time this year, I don't want copies of every acknowledgement you did for the district. You guys are awesome and we just can't keep up. So stop sending me 50 pages of your Facebook posts. We just can't keep up. Instead, we're going to ask you to generally give us what your outline or expectation is. So if you're gonna be linking or cross-posting on social media platforms, say that and explain which platforms. In your grant reporting, we will ask for you to give us an example of what you've done. We are looking at your social media. We are looking at the things that you publish. We are looking at your physical spaces. Sometimes you don't know we've driven by. And so we want to see where that signage is. Again, the district's money comes from, in part, property taxes. So we're spending the constituents' tax dollars on your services. And it's important that our population see that acknowledgement. Not because we necessarily get an ego boost, even though we do. We want to be able to really show to the community that their property taxes helped make sure that homebound seniors got meals. We want to make sure that this population knows that folks who are going through a cancer diagnosis received support. We want those folks to know that these grandparents who are raising their grandchildren had emotional support, or whatever the program is. We want the community to see that's where my tax dollars went. And the best way for that to happen is for you to help us tell your story. That's my sales pitch on that.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Today we were going about our district business, and we saw a sign from the Fallbrook Land Conservancy. Thank you for your sign. See, we saw it, and obviously a bunch of people hiking saw it, and that's where people can see, oh my gosh, some people may still not know what the Fallbrook Regional Health District is, and they may look it up and be like, oh, that's what my tax dollars go towards, and hopefully they love it. And some people know, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, it's really more for them. Obviously, it's our job to make sure you guys are doing it, but it is for the community, your community, if you live here. It's so they can see the awesome work you guys are doing and what their tax dollars are being invested in.
So anybody else have any other questions? All right, you know how to get a hold of Maria and I. It's on our website. You've gotten multiple emails from us. So before you jump off, let me just give you a quick COVID vaccination update since you're all captive. Because I know none of you are dealing with COVID at all for your clients. The health district is still partnering with our folks at CAL FIRE and the North County Fire Protection District to bring a COVID vaccination clinic to Fallbrook. We don't have 100% confirmation, but we know that we will have one here in the month of February. We are fairly confident that it will be on the Palomar College campus, right at the 76 and 15. So just be on the lookout. You've been getting a bunch of emails from me. If you're not getting a bunch of emails from me, go check your spam mail. And a bunch of emails are like maybe 1 to 2 a week. So, you know. But in that, we are putting information so that you can help share to your participants what's happening with the COVID vaccination process. The only way that we can help make sure that your programs are fully accessible again is to really make sure our population has access to the vaccine. So for our frontline healthcare workers and our seniors 65 plus, they are currently eligible for that vaccine. So look for those links. Look for that access. For those of you who provide services more than just in the Fallbrook area, and there's a couple of you, I know you have different resources for different parts of town or Escondido versus Temecula. Feel free to send specific information to Maria and I, and we're happy to help make sure that community members know all of this. Pretty much the counties and the state don't care where you live and where you get your shot. They want everyone to have access. So we're helping try to make sure that information is out there. All right. Does that make sense to everybody as well? All right. Once we know for certain a vaccination clinic date and location, we will send that out. I am going to circle back around and reach out to the folks at the Foundation for Senior Care. The Senior Center here in Fallbrook, I'm going to reach out to you guys to see how you may be able to help some of our participants get registered as well. We've added about 400 new names to our interest list in the last week or so. And a lot of these folks are in their 80s, 90s. They can handle a telephone call, but they cannot go online and figure out how to make these reservations. So we're going to need your support to be able to help walk folks through this. All right. You know, we all know that there are HIPAA demands and privacy demands, but sometimes what's more important is making sure people get the services they need. So we're going to reach out to you and say, how can you help these folks? So that if I say, hey, Patty, can you call little Mr. James? Here's his phone number. He really needs help getting this appointment. The health district has a total of 2 phone lines and 6 people. And I can guarantee you there are plenty of times that you can't reach the health district because our phones are full. And we know that this is happening because Chamber of Commerce calls and says, hey, your phone's not working. Or one of you sends me a text and says, what the hell's going on over there? I can't reach you. Yeah, we know, we're dying. So please just kind of help pass this information along as you get it. Instead of just handing out our number, if you can let folks know what we're doing and try and get them over to our website, or have them send us a general email to the district, which is hello@fallbrookhealth.org. We're signing these people up. We're sending out these emails. We don't want to leave those folks who are not in the digital world behind. So we're going to need your help making those phone calls. So that's our pitch. Don't be surprised if Maria or I reach out to you and say, hey, could you help these five people try and make appointments? Okay, please. Thank you. All right, that's all I got. Maria, did I forget anything? Anybody that's else? It.
Spread that information about COVID and to have people reach out to us. If they have any questions, you guys reach out to us. And lastly, we are just making one final push for our Wellness Center survey. If you haven't taken it and you live here in the district area, we'd love to hear from you, because again, that's where we plan on housing future programs, maybe your program there one day. And so we definitely want to hear from you, the rest of the community. What the heck would you like to have there? I don't know. A walk path, mini golf, flowers, more trees. I don't know. I don't live here, so that's why I can't say much. But anyways, we'd love to hear from you. And there's the link for an English and Spanish survey. If we're supposed to be closing it soon, so we do encourage everybody to do the electronic one. But if you're like, oh, for sure, I'm going to have an event like tomorrow, I can print you guys some. But yeah, if you can push it out electronically, that would be ideal. But that's it. Thank you guys for giving us your ears for an hour.
All right. If you have any questions, reach out to us. And we'll have all this information on the website by February 24th. Some of it is already there now. All right.
Thank you.
Check out the website. Thank you, guys.
Good luck, everybody.